Let us all say amen. 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 Once again, we are being blessed.
Amen.
So blessed that we sometimes don't even understand and know how blessed we are. Amen. But I can tell you that we are truly blessed.
Amen.
The fact that you can hear my voice, amen.
Amen.
The fact that I can use my voice, amen.
Amen.
All the blessings that we should be counting, amen.
Amen.
Count your blessings every day.
Yes, sir.
Because we are truly being blessed by God, amen.
Amen.
And it is important that we remember that and understand the fact that God cares and He is our Creator and He cares for His creation. And, in the fact that He does care, and we talked about last time about that love that He's shown for us, and through that love, He gives us the opportunity of having eternal salvation.
Amen.
But in that life that He has blessed us with, amen, we have to understand that you can't just be like Frank Sinatra and say, I did it my way, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Some of us know about that song. So it's a little too far back for others, but you have to realize that it's not about you, and it ain't about us, but it's all about pleasing our Lord,
amen.
Our God, our Creator, our Savior,
yes.
Our Provider,
yes.
Amen. And it is beautiful to see all those who have took the time to consider Him, and to come out and to gather here and worship Him in spirit and truth. Because this is the day that the Lord rose from the grave, amen? And on this day, all power was given to Him on this day. And on this day is the reason why we come together on the first day of the week, because this is the Lord's day, amen? And the fact that people decide not to lets you know that they are not thinking about that day. And that is the most wonderful days of our history. You can think back. And that day when He rose, that was the beginning of the beginning. Amen. For us, because on that day He gave us the ability to have eternal salvation. I have this acronym on the wall, on the board. And today, society, the young people are using this. And it stands for, you only live once. YOLO, right? The young people are saying it. You know, sometimes they use it like, oh, well, I'm going to take this risk. I'm going to take this chance, or I'm going to live my life to my way, to my own desires, because you only live once. And they use that as an excuse sometimes to act crazy or to do things that is not according to the way they should be living. It's like, I only live once, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to live my life. But in here, Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon, which is one of the wisest men to ever walk upon the face of the earth. Now, wisdom is not just knowing something, but wisdom is the application of the knowledge. Amen? And Solomon, he knew some things, and he had experienced. You could say Solomon had been there and done that. He said, ain't nothing new under the sun. Everything that you can see, everything that you can do, I done done it. I done seen it. I done built it. I've accomplished it. And then he says that he starts to encourage the youth, the young men, like, look, you have life. You have been blessed with life. And at a young age, you always look forward to the next day. But the thing we have to understand that yesterday is gone, right? Tomorrow is not promised, but today is the present, right? And the reason I believe they call it a present, because it's a gift from God, amen? And it's something that we have to understand, that it is a blessing that God has given us. And each day that He gives us this present, we should use it to get a little closer to God, and to get a little bit better, to be a little more spiritual or a little more loving, and all those things, that we be more godly. Each day, God gives us a chance to get a little bit closer and to get it right with Him. But Solomon was telling these young people, he says, rejoice, O young men, in thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Now, this is the part that I want us to understand. This message is for youth, but this part right here, but know that for all things, God will bring thee into judgment. So that doesn't stop at a young age, right? That goes on to the grave, amen? From the cradle to the grave, all those things that you do will be brought into the judgment. And so he is telling them to live your life. Go for what you know. You know, fulfill your heart's desires and those things that you want to do. But he says, remember, whatever you do, like the police say when they arrest you, say whatever you say and do will be brought and held accountable in the court of law. Amen. And we know that the court of law, that God will be the judge, the juror, and the executioner. Amen. Amen. So that means if we have some evidence, our life is the evidence, right? Amen. We sing that song, "May the life that I live speak for me." Amen. Yes. So that life that we live is going to speak for us in the judgment. So it is important that while you live your life, young people and those young at heart, amen, those you must understand that everything you do is going to be brought back before you and will judge you in the end. So it is important that you enjoy your life and be thankful that God has blessed you with life. But remember to, let's look at Ecclesiastes verse, just go to the next chapter, number 12, and he says, verse number one, he says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Amen. While the evil days draw not, or come not. Nor the years draw nigh. When thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, young people, when you wake up in the morning, it's like, woo, it's glad to get up. Amen. But once you get to a certain age, sometimes that morning, oh, Lord have mercy, another morning. Sometimes we're surprised that we don't sing that morning sometimes because all the things and trials that we go through as you get older, that next day or that life that it's not as exciting to get up in the morning, amen? And the young people, they bounce out of bed. Now, my bounce is a little lower now. Now it's a roll, you know. And now some people, as they get older, it becomes I don't think I'm getting out of bed now, you know. So we have to understand that now that you have the ability to do and go and live, that you should remember your creator. Consider who your creator is and consider who you are. The fact that you are a child of God, you have to remember that in your waking up, your walking and your daily going about, you have to consider the fact that you are a child of God. Amen. Because that he's going to bring those things into the judgment. And if being a child of God, we want to please our Father, amen? And we know that there is a great reward prepared for us if we fight the fight, amen? He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of life. So that means you live your life to the fullest, but you have to remember that everything you do, every step you take, God is watching you. Amen. So it is important that you remember your creator in your life. Now, some of it, like I said, as you get older, you can still, some people forget their creator as you get older. You forget, you lose that first love, and you need to rekindle that love again because you have forgotten. And the Bible tells us that if you always need to be reminded because we forget how good we got it, amen? We forget how blessed we are, and we forget how far we have come through these situations. But we always must remember thy creator, God Elohim himself, amen? And in that, you should be able to direct and watch your step. Amen. These things, because we look at these people and we see everybody's having a good time and enjoying their lives, and rich people is getting richer and they're having fun, and we see them and we're like, oh, I want to do that. I want to be like that. I wish I could get to that level. And all these desires that we search for, but we lose sight and forget about our creator. Amen. And he is encouraging that you remember, consider always your God, your creator. And there is no age limit to this, you know. And like I said, as you get older, I know as I got older, I start to forget it more. I didn't read as much. And it weakened me and made me weaker and go in the opposite direction, where if I was considering him and remembering him and desiring his word, it would have made me stronger. And that's this encouragement to you, that if you remember him, you're going to want to know about him. You're going to want to read about him, and you want to live like him and be like him so that one day, instead of you just remember him, you can actually see him, amen? And you can actually embrace him and be in the bosom of Abraham and be in heaven one day and live eternally. And that is our ultimate goal. Yeah. Because we have to understand in verse number 6, in verse number 7 in chapter 12, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." And after that, he says, "Vanity is vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." He's saying, look, you doing all this stuff and you accomplish all these things, but you're going to die. And everything that you accomplish is going to die eventually. Those things that you buy, they corrupt, right? And they eventually going to get burned up. We talked to, and all those things that you have eventually is going to return back to the dust. Your flesh returns back to the dust, and the spirit returns back to God who gave it. Amen?
Amen.
So then we have to understand that. And he says that vanity is vanity. So all this stuff that you're doing really is not going to affect the fact that you're going to die. And those things that you accomplish is not going to keep you from getting up. And it's not going to hinder you from getting up on that day, right? But when he comes, you're going to get up regardless, right? No matter what your situation is. And he says where you die, the way that you die is the way that you're going to get up. So it is important that you remember your creator. So on that day when you die, we all are going to die. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, 27, that we're all appointed once to die. And after the death is the judgment. And on that day, all that life that you live will be brought to you. And that's why the Bible talks about redeeming the time.
Right.
So buying back those times. Some of us, we have been sinners for a long time, right? We've been doing some sin. Some people might think, I done so much, I don't even think I can. If all that I've done is going to be brought to me in the judgment, how am I going to be able to make it through? But the Bible tells us that we have to redeem those times and buy back that time when we was in sin, so that we can start over. It's like a brand new life. That's why he said it's when you are born again. So it's like you starting from the beginning again, and you have the opportunity to get back those times. Then you can do some good to make sure that good outweighs the bad. Amen? And that's what it's all about, trying to not balance the scales, but unbalance them, right? A lot of us, we are more sinful sometimes. We have been. And now that we want to get closer to God, it starts to even out. Now we're about the same. We sin so much and we live life. But we need to make that balance where it's more good than the bad. Amen? And that's how you redeem the time. You know, he said he is faithful and just to forgive us, amen? He said, but if you repent, though, you have to repent. And that is about redeeming the time and getting that time back. And he says, James says, what is your life? It is but a vapor.
Yeah.
Here one minute, gone the next, amen?
Yeah.
And it doesn't last long. And you know, we might say, oh, I'm a certain amount of age. Oh, he's old and this and that. But in all actualities, if we think about the way God is, his age, we are still all babies compared to God, amen?
Amen.
No matter, you can be 106 years old and you still just a little baby in God's sight. And that's why we have to humble ourselves as children, because we can't get too ornery about our age and understand that life is a record. And all those records, all those things you do in your life will be brought to you in the day of judgment. And then in 13, verse 14 in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter." This is one of my favorites. When I first seen this, I was, man, it really got me to understand that your whole purpose in life is to fear God and to keep his commandments. Because everything else is vain, empty, worthless, when it comes to your soul salvation. You understand that? And see, we some of us, we get it mixed up. Because we put our goals and our wants and desires first.
Right.
And then we consider God afterwards. But we have to understand that all that stuff is worthlessness. You're putting all your time and effort into something that is worthless. It's like building a castle on too close to the shore. You build that nice sand castle and it's perfect and beautiful. And you stand back and look at it in a big old way. Smash, right? And in all your work is in vain, right?
Yeah.
To no avail. And that's what he's saying, that all these things that you try to accomplish, if it's not considering, if you don't put God first, it is all going to be to no avail. Amen. That's why he says, whatever you do in word or deed, Colossians tells us, do all in the name of the Lord. Amen. And that we must consider by his authority whatever you do. The fact that you only live once, knowing that there's no repeats, you can't go back and start again. There's no reincarnation, as Buddha tried to teach and things like that. He says, once you die, after the death is the judgment. The judgment is the end. Amen. So there's no coming back. Right. So then the fact that we understand that we must make sure that our life is worthy enough so that when we get up, he will say, come, my good and faithful servant. Your work is well done. Amen. Instead of hearing, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Amen. And that's what we want to hear. So I believe that it's important that we see how we can live our lives in effect where we are considering God and remembering him. Paul was writing to a young preacher named Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 12 through 13. And like I said, this is usually directed to youth, but if you are, like I said, 106 years old, this applies to you. Amen? Is that all right? Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4. He says, and started at verse number 12, he says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of a believer. The point I want you to see that you have to, while you're living this life, this short life, this time on earth, you should be an example of a believer. Amen. Means that you should be an example of a Christian. Yeah. That means you should represent where you're from. Represent who you are. You know, that fad has gone out a little bit. It's not so much of the Blood and Crips thing going on. But people, when you was a Blood, you knew a person was a Blood. He'd be dressed in red like Santa Claus walking down the street, right? And then if it was a Crip, he will have all blue. And then they have distinctive things that you know. And they represent where they're from. The world represents where they from, hardcore. If you was a fan of a team, you had that jersey on, represent who you are a fan of. The certain player that you like, you represent that you have his name across your back. People don't even know your name. They think your last name is Ocho Cinco because you got Ocho Cinco on your back, but you don't even have your own name on your back. You know, we represent these people, but all these people that we admire and look up to and dress like, talk like, and live like, they haven't done nothing for us. Not a thing, you know. It made you laugh, made you smile, made you bob your head or something, but that stuff, like I said, is empty and it's vain, and it cannot help you make it to heaven, which is our ultimate goal. So we put these people and we represent everything. Everybody except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see what I'm saying? And people, everything we do in our conversation, our lifestyle, everything we do represents society, the way they said it, the way you're supposed to live. This is how you're supposed to do it. This is how you're supposed to act. People, you see all these phenomenons going in the world is because society made it go that way. And people are following it and falling into the traps. But we have to realize that we are not like the world. He said we are out of this world, right? Aliens, right? And we are, he said, my kingdom is not of this world, so my people ain't even of this world. So we are citizens, dual citizens. We have an earthly citizenship, but we also have a place in heaven prepared for us, and that is where we ultimately want to go. Now, he says to be an example of a believer. And then he says, how do you be an example of believer? First, he says in word, and that is the way you talk, right? Your speech, amen? In Colossians 4 and 6, he says, let your speech always be seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer every man, you know. So we sometimes we go off on folk because they do stuff. But if we was thinking and considering God and being an example, we have to say, well, you have to bridle your tongue and watch what you say. You say, well, I didn't mean to do it or it slipped out. But that's because it was already in your brain, right? Because you wasn't considering. You didn't have the word of God dwelling in you richly. You had the word of Richard Pryor or somebody, cuss words that you using sometimes in the streets. But you should have the words of Christ dwelling in you richly, where you can say forgive you and thank you and I love you and things like that. So he says in word, by the way you talk. In Ephesians chapter 4, 25 to 30, he talks about putting away lying, the way you talk. Then he says don't You shouldn't have filthy Luke or bad language coming out of your mouth no more. Any of those things, you have to lay aside malice and things like that. And you have to be able to control your speech. But the only way you can do that by is considering and remembering what God has said. Amen.
Yes,
and then the next thing he says, in conversation. And that is your daily lifestyle, the way that you live. Like I said, you can live your life according to however you want. God made us free moral agents. But if you are a Christian and a child of God, you should represent who you are and where you are from. Yeah. Amen. Your lifestyle should be becoming of the gospel. The Bible says that your life should represent. Hey, shut up, please. Your lifestyle should represent the way that you live. It should represent God, and you should represent Christ in all that you do, because like I said, all that you do in your life will be brought to you in the judgment. Amen. 1 Peter, the Bible says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves as the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which has called us, called you is holy, be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Amen. That means in all manner of your lifestyle. That means you should be like God in your life. And like I said, we look at those people and the so-called role models that we have, but you can't look at them people because they slip and fall. The best role model is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
A perfect role model, you know? Amen. So we're going to look at somebody, look up to somebody who is just as slippery and slidy as we are, who is just as weak as we are, but we should be looking to someone and trying to set our goals to be like someone that is greater than every person that you can think of, you know. And I always say, I be thinking, like, people look at these athletes, and I said, if Jesus played sports, he would be the best sport athlete, right? If Jesus was a singer, I bet you his voice sound like, oh man, just think about it. The Bible says they sung a song when they was before they went to the. I could just imagine how his voice sound, and when he was singing, because he was perfect. He was God himself in the flesh. So imagine how perfect he was in everything that he did. And the Bible talks about how he walked and how he lived, and all that was perfection. And if we want to be like somebody, why not be like Christ? Amen. Because he is our perfect example. So our lifestyle should mimic Jesus Christ, amen?
Amen.
And that's how being an example of a believer. The Bible, Jesus said, let your light so shine so that others might see. And that light, like we talked about, is a reflection of Jesus Christ. So we should be, our light that reflect should be from the source of Christ himself. And all that you do, the Bible says, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means in your life that you live, you should always be trying to get stronger and do better in the work of the Lord. And then he says to be an example in charity. And that word charity basically means love. Amen. That's that word. Lord have mercy. I could spend all day on this one, but I'm keeping moving. Love is important. And you show your love. He said, they will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another.
Amen.
So being an example of a believer with love is showing that you are a true follower of Jesus Christ. If you ain't got no love, you need to check yourself. Amen. If you don't got love, you probably need to be washed again. Amen. If you don't have love, you might need to consider what your occupation. This is a job that we are in. He said to walk worthy of your occupation or this job that you have as a Christian. You might want to reconsider your job. Amen. If you can't muster up some love for some folk. Amen. Because the way that you show that you are a true Christian is by showing some love. Amen. And so that is an example that you must have. You must. And then you must not love evil. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, love and think no evil. So you couldn't be having no bad thoughts about folk, you know.
Right.
Even if they do wrong, you still have to consider them and love them and hope for them to have a better life, amen, to be able to get it right with God. And then he says to be an example in spirit. Now, that is thinking in your mind. You know, in the Bible, Jesus said that it starts, all that stuff that you do, everything that you do, starts from in here. That's why it's no slip of, I accidentally hit him, or I accidentally said something, because it was already in your brain. Your body don't work by itself, amen? Your brain tells it what to do, right? So when you slap somebody in their face, You say, oh, it slipped. My hand slipped. There's no way, because you had that thought in your mind. When you say something bad about somebody, that thought was in your mind already. And that's why he says to let the words of Christ. Amen. And if you have, he said, have the mind of Christ. Then that was those things. Only people Jesus talked bad about was folk who was them hypocrites, right? He talked about all those sinners. The only people he talked bad about, the only people he did, even those who were in sin, he even saved them and healed them, right? And he said, go and sin no more to those that he healed, because they was already in sin, and he healed them for them sin. But the only people that he talked about was those who pretending that they had it all good already, thinking that they was better. He called them snakes and vipers and hypocrites. And he said, you look clean and white and beautiful on the outside, but on the inside, like dead man's bones. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now you had to think about that. Somebody on the inside is like a grave, you know, decaying and stanking. That's why when they talk, like I said, sometimes when they talk, that smell of their evilness, and they say, you know, this person ain't a child of God by a person's conversation, and then by their lifestyle, and then by the lack of love, and then all those things start in your mind. The thoughts in your mind is what defiles the man. And he says, it's not what goes in, your sandwiches, the pork chops and things that we eat. That's not what defiles a man, but what comes out. And that's why it's important that when you want to take your risk on drinking and things like that. And if you get to that level, then something go come out. Then you're going to say, oh, I was drunk. I didn't know what I was doing. That's why you're not supposed to get drunk. People wake up in the morning and they was like, oh, I need the morning after pill because I was so drunk. I didn't know what happened. That's why you shouldn't get drunk. Because it affects your thinking. It's not that you drank it, but it's what you did after you got drunk. See what I'm saying? Y'all understand that? That's why I said it's not what goes in, but it's what comes out. Yeah. That's Jesus talking. That's not my word. That's what Jesus said. It's not what goes in, but what comes out. So if you put something in your body that's going to make you act unaccording to the will of God, don't put it in your body. And when you do, that's your fault. And that is your problem. Not the alcohol's problem. Not Smirnoff's problem for making it, right? But it's your fault for drinking it, amen? Or whatever it is that you do that makes you not live according to God's word, that is on you to decipher. And you can't say, oh, the devil made me do it. The Bible says that you are tempted by your own desires and your own lust. So that means you need to control your mind. And that's your spirit. Your spirit should be holy. You should have the Holy Spirit in you, right? And then the Bible says you receive the gift of the Spirit. That means you're going to have some peace, some love, and some joy in you. You're going to have some long-suffering, amen? And then that you're going to reflect, and you're going to look like, and you're going to represent where you are and where you're from. Then he says, in faith, and that is by what you believe in, and we all believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, amen? And that is the beginning of it, and that is where our foundation, the Bible says, the substance. Faith is the substance of things, and the substance is the base of something, right? You can find it in that, it's the base. Faith is the beginning. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, what is the use of you getting baptized? That's why he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not, he ain't even going to get in the water. So we ain't even going to go to the next part. So we ain't even worried about the part. People say, well, why did he leave it off? Maybe it wasn't important. No. If you don't believe, you're not even going to think about the water if you don't believe what I'm saying, right? So he said, if you believe and baptize, you shall be saved. But if you believe not, you shall be damned, right? So that's why he says, without faith, in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please him. So you must believe that he is and a rewarder. That fact that he says that, you must believe that he is and a rewarder, means that faith is the acting on the promises. Acting upon the promise. He said, if you love me and keep my commandments, he said, where I go, you can go also, right? So what we do, we keep his commandments because we want to go where he's at, amen? And we do good because he told us, and we know that if we do good, we're going to benefit from it. And if we do wrong, we're going to miss out, right? So everything that we do is like E equals MC squared, right? Newton's law of theory. Every motion has an equal and, you know, a counter action to that motion, right? So everything you do, if it's bad, you reap what you sow, right? So what you put out is what you bring back in. So if you're putting out some wrong and you're putting out some sin, guaranteed it's going to come back to you, right? But if you're putting out some good, he says, those who sow to the flesh will reap to the flesh. But those who sow to the spirit, hallelujah, will reap to the spirit. And that's what we want to make sure, that our spirit and our minds and hearts are focused. And that's why we have to stay focused on our goal. And then the last one is important, and it's purity. Now, purity is basically abstinence. And sexual immorality is rampant through the world today, right? And that pleasure, it feels good, right? God gave it. He made it so that it felt good. He gave it so that we desire it, those who are men and women, right? But the abuse of it, right, makes it wrong. Not sex itself is not wrong. The Bible says that marriage is honorable, and the bed, that's the sex part, is undefiled. But that's the fact because you are married. But today, people, they don't want to get married. No desire in their hearts. You know, they don't, one night stands and flings and things of that nature. And people get married for 10 weeks or 6 minutes, and they divorce the next because they don't have purity. And that purity is to keep yourself abstinent or chaste. And to keep yourself, your legs closed, right? And your pants up, right? And these things, the whole world, I mean, it's kids 10 years old talking about stuff like that, you know? But then you turn on the TV, everything is about sex. Everything. You sell a hamburger, you need a half-naked girl to sell a hamburger. Don't make no sense, right? When I'm hungry, I ain't thinking about no girl. I'm thinking about eating, right? But some reason, somehow, they found that it is good to have a naked person holding the hamburger. Oh my goodness. They try anything you think of. They try to, even the games nowadays. You got a teen and mature. They got naked people in the games, and stuff is all about sex. Everything is about sex. And like I said, it is pleasurable, and then God made us. That's what people say, it's in our nature. That's what we're made for. But the way you do it, you know, it could put you in heaven or it could put you in hell. Amen. And I encourage, I don't care, I encourage everybody to get married. Because he said it is better to marry than to burn. Have mercy. Amen. It is better to marry than to burn. Choose your choice. Will I burn or will I get married? You know, people say, well, I don't want to get married. I'm not ready. I don't want to be tied down. So you must rather want to burn then. Is that your choice? Those are the only two choices you have. And so it is important that we don't preach about it a lot. I don't know why, but it is important that we understand how God feels about fornication. He hates it. He despises it. And when you, the same way like I was talking about, when you cheat on God, when you go out into the world and you leave Christ and you go to Satan, you are committing adultery or fornication in the sight spiritually. And he does not like it. And I believe it's Ezra. The children of Israel are unfaithful to him. So God told the prophet to go marry you a harlot. Hosea. He told him, go marry a harlot, so you can see what it feels like to be married to somebody who's unfaithful to you. Imagine if your husband or wife was a gigolo or a prostitute. And when you got home, she was leaving, going to go to work. And you know what a work that she does, right? And how are you going to feel about that? Now, some people say, well, long she bring back that money, right? But you know that person ain't got no love. He ain't a spiritual person. And we ain't even talking about those. We talking about church folk, Christians, amen? By being an example of a believer, because we only live one time. So if you out there sowing your royal oats, trying to get your seeds all over and trying to experience all these things of life, that stuff is going to be brought to you in the end, and hell could be your destination because of the fact that you wanted 2 1/2 minutes of pleasure, right? All these things, people put that physical, your flesh, that's why he says to mortify your body, to put your desires to death, because if those desires can take you to hell. And if you want to make heaven your home, then you have to bring your body under subjection. Amen. Look at people date, they have boyfriends and girlfriends, but that should be to prepare you to get married. People, you shouldn't be dating for 85, 16 years. We've been boyfriend and girlfriend. You're supposed to be preparing yourself to be married. Right. Amen? And if you, I encourage you young people, if you're not ready to get married, you shouldn't even be dating. Right. Because what are you dating for? The date is going to get you in a situation where you're going to get caught up. Amen? And if you're not ready to be, dating is courting. Courting is preparing your wife to be, preparing this woman to be your wife. Or to prepare that man. So your dating should be your preparation to be married.
Amen?
Amen? Because if you just dating to be dating, dating for some cheap thrills and for some fleshy desires, you're going to go to hell. Amen?
Amen?
And that's the bottom line. So you can burn from sex. There's a disease and they say you get burnt, right? But imagine, that's just your flesh burning. But sex also, in the wrong way, can burn your whole soul for the rest of your life.
Amen.
And you won't just be burnt in that place. You'll be burnt all over, amen? And nobody wants that. And that's why it's important that we are pure. We should be pure people. And that's not just for the young folk, because married people, they get all wiggity wild too, and them desires come too. You go out, you can't even go outside sometimes. If a woman is half naked and you see a half naked woman, your brain, you know, your natural, that's why we have to have a control over our mind. That's why we should be renewed. So when that natural is coming, that instinct is coming, you can fight that desire back. But like I said, folk don't care. They be half naked on the streets, clothes tight. You don't even look like they don't got no clothes on at all. You can see their blood vessels. You know what I'm saying? They be clothes so tight. And it's terrible. And it's the fad, though. It's a fad. The yoga pants. The women wearing them down the street like you ain't even going to work out. But they, you know, you can see all that. You can see everything. So what do you expect the man to do? We have to fight, you know what I'm saying, just by our own vision. It's something that we can't even help. But it's important that we always keep our minds focused on God. And sometimes you might have to close your eyes and pray, Lord, help me, Lord, help. I know I do. You got to go out there with blinders sometimes, you know, because it's so aggressive out there. And then the men is tightening their pants up and pulling them all, you know what I'm saying? It's all these things that people are doing, but it's the culture and the fad that we all are so enchanted with that is encouraging sin. See what I'm saying? So that's why he said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. He's talking about the fads and the things, all this stuff that's going on in the world that we start to like. Oh, this is a new fad. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to try it out. You know, but those things can put you into hell. And that is not where nobody wants to go.
Amen.
And the encouragement, I say, women, there's two trees in life. Trees. There's a peach tree. And I remember I talked about that palm tree the last time, about the blowing in the wind. But that palm tree, you women should be like a coconut.
Amen.
If you see a palm tree, you go to a peach tree, sometimes the peaches is already on the ground, right?
Yeah.
You just pick it up, you can eat it. Rinse it off, rub it, you already got you a peach. Oh, yeah. The branches are so low, you can just reach up. It's so easy to grab it, right?
Amen.
And some of these women are just like peach trees. You just pluck them real quick. Bloop, bloop, bloop. They easy, right? They out there for the pickings, amen?
Amen?
But I encourage women, children of Christ, those women that are children of Christ, Christians, trying to be an example of a believer, to be like a coconut tree.
Amen.
Now, you have to, if you see a coconut tree, you can't just go to a coconut tree and pull off a coconut.
Right.
First, you got to be able to climb that tree. Now, I know I would never be able to get a coconut because I cannot climb a tree, right? So I know, so it's going to take a certain kind of person to be able to get up to that coconut, first of all, right? He's going to have some dedication and diligence. Women, that man who's coming after you should have some dedication and some persistence and some diligence before you give it all to him, amen? Some people, you can buy them a Happy Meal and they're ready to go, right? But you need to put some, make them do some work. And then once you get up to that top of the tree, you got to cut that coconut down. You can't just bite into the coconut, right? You don't get to the juices. You got to cut that coconut down. That's some more work. Then you got to climb back down that tree. That's some more work, right? So then you get the coconut. Then you got to get through that hard shell, right? And you got to chop through that hard shell. Women, y'all should be like coconuts, where a man has to put in some work before he gets to the fruity, delicious, white meat, delicious. You know what I'm saying? But like I said, a lot of the women today are just like peach trees. I can just come by and pluck you, eat you all up, and you're ready to go. Right? But like I said, that lifestyle will get you into hell. But you should be, it should take some hard work, women, young ladies, for a man to get to you nowadays, because you know better. Right? And you done seen them out. You seen those girls in the world. You see, what's the TV show? Teen Mamas or something like that. It's like the number one show. How that show still on? Because people like that, you know? People are participating, and some of them, oh, that's just like me. I feel it. Because people are in that situation. And like I said, that purity is important. You know, and we should, every time you see your child, you should encourage them to be pure. Right? And you should encourage yourself to be pure, because those impure thoughts are just being bombarded into your brain every time. Turn on the radio, turn on the TV, go to the movies, you even turn on the news, some sexual event. The governors and the mayors and all these people who's supposed to be our, that we put in offices, is acting like a bunch of whoremongers and things of that nature. But the Bible says that those people will have their part in the burning lake of fire. And then, like I said, it is better to marry than to burn. That's what it says. And you have to decide what is more important. And I want to encourage you guys to always consider God in everything that you do. And it's important that Philippians tell you to work out your own soul salvation. Because you can't say, oh, he seduced me, or he set me up, he put me in the position for it. You know, it's going to be on you in the end. Amen. And we can't point the finger at nobody. We can't blame it on nobody. That's the song. If I don't make it to heaven, it would be nobody's fault but mine. It's going to be all on you. So the Bible, God has given you the way to be. If you want to make it to heaven, he said, I have shown you the way. And the way, you know. And you can be like Thomas and say, I ain't seen no way. You ain't showed me a way. I ain't seen no way. He said, I am the way, man. I've been here showing you the way the whole time. And a lot of us, we still ain't seen the way. We still trying to find a way, trying to find our purpose in life. But he already tells you to fear God and keep his commandments. Yeah, that right. is a purpose in itself. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And that is important, that we always be an example of a believer. Be it young or old, you should represent where you're from. Right. We need to get some shirts instead of wearing these jerseys, these Charger jerseys or Laker jerseys. You need to get you a Church of Christ shirt, maybe. How about that? With some scriptures on the back. You know, people get tattooed, it don't be no word of God nowhere. Why don't you get your tattoo some scriptures, so when people want to look at your tattoo, they can read the word of God or something, you know? All these things that you're doing, everything, he says, word or deeds. That means whatever you say and do should be representing Christ Jesus. Amen? So just think about some of the things that you do. And when you do it, say, is God being represented? Can I glorify God in this act? Am I able to encourage someone to do better in the things that I'm doing? And like I said, remember to always stay away. The Bible says to flee fornication. Right, right. Amen. Yeah. No, so flee it. That's a running. You know, you go run from it. Now, like I said, Joseph was our prime example. He ran up out of his clothes to get up out of there, man. He said, he know. And then the king, he knew his wife. He said, I know Joe maybe, but I know you too. So he didn't put him in a bad prison. He put him in his best place because he knew how his wife was very promiscuous. You see, he knew, you know, but that's the thing we have to understand. When it comes to us, we need to run, flee, resist. He also says, flee youthful lust, right? Yeah, resist right. that, because that youthful desire, you want everything, right? You want it all. But don't let that be your consumption, where you become consumed with covetousness and you become an idolater and you go to hell. We don't want that. It is a fact that hell is, right? And we don't want to go, right? Anybody want to go to hell?
No.
Nope. And the only way you cannot go is by following the path that leads unto salvation. Amen.
Amen.
And for those who may not understand or know or be share the same religious conviction as we do, which is found in the Bible, that faith, that one faith that we have, the Bible tells you that you must hear. Yeah. Hear, believe, and repent. Now, these all three are part of the same. Because you can't believe something you ain't never heard, right? Well, he said, how can they hear unless they be taught, right? And how can they be taught unless there's a preacher, praise God. Right. Amen? So first you hear it and believe it, and the belief is going to make you change your mind. Yeah. And you're going to react upon that. The faith is acting upon the promises. That means you know that my faith, if I live right, I'm going to make it to heaven, so I need to change my ways. All three of those is in one. Yeah. right? And you confess him. And that is also by the lifestyle, you know, changing your life. People say, why you don't do it no more? Well, I'm trying to live for Christ, right? Yeah. And it's going to be all in there. Then by your obedience and that faith, you're going to be baptized and washed in the grave. And that adds you to the body of Christ where that you can really represent where you're from. Amen? Amen. Like we say, we wear these jerseys, but ain't none of us play for the NFL or the NBA, right? And we wear except George, amen. And, you know, you wear the jerseys, but you represent something that you ain't, right? So why don't you represent something that you are? Amen. A child of God, that's what you are. I don't see OC churches all T-shirts everywhere. You know, it'd be beautiful to see that, right? And it is important. But once you become a child of God, and that's the beginning. The beginning where you have to remain faithful unto death. Amen. That's by living that life and being an example of a believer. Amen. So for those who have not been being an example, here and now is the opportunity. Today is the time. Yeah. The present, the gift that has been given to you by God is for you to get it right. Amen. And for those who have, I encourage you to keep it up. And then for those who have not been washed, come as we sing the song of invitation so that you can be added to his body as we sing the song of invitation.